Hi everybody, this is a Potterware podcast about the subject of feedback. My name's Fleur and I'm here with Katie and Katerina. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, the first one here now was Katerina and the second one was Katie. Just so everybody has a chance to not be confused.
Katie is croissant Katie, the British one. And yes. Katerina is the Canadian one.
Yes, and Fleur Rochard is the German one, so to be absolutely logical.
Nice, distinct, separate accent so that people can tell us apart.
Yes. Okay. So, who wants to start? Katerina, do you want to start with kind of a recap?
Okay, last year they discussed ways to increase your feedback, so I'll recap that quickly. So make people aware of who you are. So make sure you name yourself in the recording and in your ID3 tags. Don't be afraid to take credit for your work, although there are good reasons for not doing that. But that's a way to increase your feedback, just to put your name out there. Make it easy for people to reach you. Allow posts in your journal. Remind people that email is an excellent way to send feedback, or PMs if they don't want to do it publicly. Ask for feedback. Remind people that you're looking for feedback. And to point people explicitly to your journal, maybe in the recording. AO3 is also a good way to put yourself out there because kudos can roll in way more easily than maybe people having to actually deal with commenting. People can also search by tags and accidentally stumble on your podfic in a way that they wouldn't in explicitly podfic-specific spaces. And what else did they say? They said to offer a streaming option. So that, especially for shorter podfics, so that people can be in the same place. They can be in that place to leave you feedback when they finish listening, because that's I think we all understand that that's a big part of the reason feedback is hard for us.
Yes.
And so also to generally acknowledge feedback. Thank you for the feedback if someone does leave it.
Yes. And so those are all very good points, and I think, yes, lots of them I would probably mention as well. Guess you two do.
Yeah, the one other way I would mention would be over Twitter, if you know the podfic are there.
Yeah.
That's something I don't do particularly because I particularly like, I know Fire Juggler has live tweeted saying, I am listening to this and really enjoying it. And that's just, yes, it's short, but it's still a nice bit of feedback saying, yes, I am listening and enjoying this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just like kudos, which is a very easy way to give feedback, and it's just like, hey, I listened to it, I liked it, and that's, I mean, people you often in when you see feedback for fix, they're often not saying anything else, just I liked it, and. But sometimes I know that when I'm giving feedback, sometimes that's just typing, I liked it, it feels so little. I feel kind of ridiculous just typing, I liked it, but I'm just not up for typing more sometimes. So giving kudos is a very easy way. It's not hard. People don't have to overcome a big wall of feedback anxiousness, which I can understand, absolutely. And so, since I've started posting podfics on AO3, I think I've got way more, feedback in a way. Yes, because kudos are nice.
And I feel like things that you put up on the AO3 get more circulation, even in the long run, than something that goes up on a platform like LiveJournal or DreamWidth. I don't know if that's scientifically true. I can't prove it quantitatively, but I feel like I get more feedback on the things that are on AO3 than the things that just sort of get pushed further and further down on the Amplificathons.
Yes, probably because AO3 is, their search isn't really perfect at all, but it's still easier to search, I think, than...
It's way better with the return of tags.
Oh, yes.
Tech searching.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We're all going to go into raptures about that now.
Also, maybe if you go to Amplificathon or, the audio archive or specific potfakers journals, you are specifically searching for potfakes. But on AO3, at least until they may start giving you filtering options for different kind of media, people can stumble over a potfake and just say, I could try that. So you might get some listeners that wouldn't have searched for it specifically.
Right, exactly. And that was mentioned last year as well.
So that's nice. That's why I like posting on AO3, even if it's not a perfect platform for Podfig right now, but it's still good for me. So yeah.
So what else did we have to talk about today?
I think we wanted to talk about what would actually make feedbacking Podfig difficult and hard.
I was thinking about this, and part of my issue is I find it, like you said earlier, I find it really difficult just to say, yes, I like this in the same way I would if I was feedbacking on a story. Whereas when I want to feedback on a podfic, I always feel the need to say something more about what specifically I enjoyed and stuff. And because I then have to remember, that gets a bit more difficult. So recently I've just been trying to accept and acknowledge that going, yay, I really enjoy this, thank you for recording, is a valid form of feedback.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. I do enjoy getting comments like that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes it's nice to know. I mean, I look at the download hits on my Podfic, and I tend to assume that people listened and enjoyed it well enough, regardless of whether or not they comment, regardless of whether or not they actually did. But it's always nice to get that confirmation.
Yes.
Just like, hey, I listened to this. It made me happy for a little while.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes I do that now with Podfix feedback as well, that maybe I'm just saying, oh, I really like that, or hey, this was making my day with lots of housework so much more fun. So it gives a little bit more detail, the last thing, but it's still not something that's hard to think of.
Yeah, I both do that and enjoy getting comments like that. So just even if I can't remember something specific I enjoyed about the story, I might remember that I happened to listen to it on the bus and it made it far more enjoyable, which in itself is a good thing.
Yes.
Well, KLB did that post last year for how to leave feedback, and I think her 5 points were, I listened, I liked it, which is where we started this conversation, which is totally awesome feedback.
Yes.
Two was to describe your listening experience, so like I did all this housework and it made it suck less.
Yeah.
Three, comment on your reader's voice and style. You can also talk about scenes or moments that really, really worked for you. Or tell your podficker about your history. So I listen to your work all the time, or I listen to your voice as I fall asleep, whatever you actually do with that kind of podfic.
That is just an excellent resource. I remember when I was first getting into podfic, and I was listening to so much, and I was loving it so much, but I didn't know how to tell anyone about it. I stumbled across that, and then I was like, okay, yes, I can do this.
It's hard at first. It's really hard because I think the first instinct is to say, "Oh, the scene that was so funny and something like that," and not to I'm saying in quotation marks to compliment the story, because I always appreciate if people tell me that they like the story I've chosen, because that's good to know. And I've chosen the story for a reason. I loved it, but to make clear that it's not just the story, but also the reading. And that's, I think, hard, because people often, I can understand it, remember the story, but then they think, okay, what did I like about the reading? Because I liked it, but what exactly did I like about the reading?
It's very hard to pin down about what exactly I liked it, unless, like, there's one particular delivery of a line which gets me, or just the emotion they evoke. It's really hard to find the words to describe what I liked about a reading.
It is. It is.
What I was going to say, too, is that sometimes that I find that difficulty in saying what I liked about a podfic and a specific performance is that I can't distinguish it necessarily from what I enjoyed about the story.
Yes.
You can't always parse the two things. That's an added layer of difficulty to feedbacking.
Exactly. And I just want to say I really don't mind if people, when they're giving feedback, to also give feedback about the story, because, yay! The writers absolutely should get some love as well.
They are two intertwined things, and to a certain extent you can't separate them, and you need to acknowledge that they are both there.
Yes.
So. Also, bonus points that the pod figure was also the author.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, of course. For example, when I'm listening to a student print, obviously, then I can squee about her reading and I can squee about her story. And I just can get all the squee out. So, and it's obviously something different then.
It's nice when you can do that, yeah.
Yes, it is nice. It is nice.
Well, I'm just going to ask, what other things do we find difficult about leaving feedback?
I think one of the big things is obviously most of the time we don't listen to podfic while we're at a computer. So we finish the podfic and then we can't just leave podfic on the fly unless we have a smartphone and know the Twitter name of the podfic. Then we can do that. I don't, so I can't.
I listen to a lot of podfic when I can't sleep. So, but I've had this issue where by the time I wake up, I can't remember what I enjoyed about it, but I know I enjoyed it. So what I've started doing is I leave little notes on my bedside table or in my phone with just little word prompts for what I enjoyed to remind me.
Well, even so, I would say, like, you know, this podfic helped me sleep, you know?
Yeah, that is something I say a lot.
Yeah, no, that's also, that's really nice, because it's just, well, it means it was kind of soothing and comforting, and that's a very nice thing to hear, in my opinion.
It's someone keeping me company in a lot of respects.
Yes, yes.
When I use podfic to help me sleep, for me it's a way of having one thing to focus on.
Yeah.
You know, this one really comforting thing instead of the 6 million thoughts, like, oh, God, just have done that. Like, oh, God, this is due soon. Instead, I've just got this, you know, one person who might even be a friend, you know, telling me a story. I love that.
Oh, yes, yes. Absolutely.
So Katie's already opened the door. Let's talk about how we personally remember to leave feedback. What tips and tricks do we use for ourselves? So Katie leaves herself notes on her bedside table. What else do we do?
Yes. Well, when I'm getting the podfix off my MP3 player, that's, for example, a good time for me to say, oh, yes, I wanted to leave feedback. And then I can do that. For example, so it's just because and then I'm reminded, yes, I've listened to this and I liked it, so leave some feedback.
I used to do that because I've only got 2 gigs worth of space on my MP3 player.
Oh, yes.
So, like, there's a really high turnover rate on that thing. But what I've actually found is that I would end up, like, so I leave feedback in binges, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I've done 2 really big feedback binges at this point. But I'd end up with, like, these huge backlists of unfeedbacked playlists. Like, a playlist would get too big to load onto my iPod, so I'd have to move on to another one. I know.
Okay.
But what I've actually started doing is I keep all of my podfic now in with the audiobooks. And it's all carefully categorized and sorted and that I'm aware that that's not something everybody does. But what I do is I only tick it to I'm in iTunes. So if you're also familiar with the program, you'll know that you can tick or untick the little box.
Okay.
So if I've ticked the box, I know I've left feedback on it.
Hmm.
And if it's not
really
ticked,
good idea.
I know it's left feedback. So that when I do go on my next Podfic binge, and I will know that that is something that is on my to-do list.
Ah, that's really awesome. I don't use iTunes, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what other people's MP3
might
like, so it won't work the same way for everyone.
Yeah, my MP3 player is a really simple thing that's basically a USB stick with which you can play MP3, so...
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Well, I mean, I can't do that specifically on my MP3 player, like the portable one, but in terms of the software on my laptop, that's an option I have.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's very useful.
I know that there are Podfickers who create spreadsheets.
Hmm.
Yes.
Who will put everything they download into a spreadsheet and track, you know, whether it's listened to or not, whether they've left feedback or not.
The problem is that does absolutely appeal to me because I love spreadsheets, but I'm not quite sure whether it would be a good idea to start another set of spreadsheets for something else because, yes, my zodiac is Virgo and I might fixate on that.
Oh, that's not good.
No, that's not good, so... Maybe not.
I mean, well, and it sounds like you found a system that works for you anyway.
It does.
So. And I think it really is about just experimenting around until you find something that works for you.
Yes.
Definitely.
Or you know, changing it up if something stops working. For example, my original attempts at not exceeding the size of my Podfic player before my MP3 player before I switched to a new playlist.
No, I'm currently in the process of trying to switch up my regime as well, because whilst I was on top of it before, I am not so much at the moment and have a massive list of things I want to feedback on. So I'm currently trying to experiment with other things. In particular, I've been trying to bookmark things on my Pinboard account, partly because I realised it was all fic on there, which does not represent me in fandom at all. And also I wanted to have some way to keep track, and it was another way to say, yeah, I was enjoying this stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely about trying different things, I think.
Yeah, and that's bookmarking things in Pinboard is or Delicious, if you're still using it, is awesome. I know people also do it in their browsers.
Yeah.
So... whatever works. I also really loved the Podfic feedback month we had last spring.
Yes.
That was amazing. That was the best motivation because I was like, I'm going to beat everyone. I'm going to leave the most feedback.
Just gave me that kick I needed to get going a bit more.
Yes. No, that's...
Go ahead, finish.
That was really good. I'm just... The problem is with that was more like I don't actually listen to... at that much Podfic all the time. I mean, it's more like binge listening. Sometimes I listen a lot and sometimes I don't listen a lot. So I got the impression that other people were just listening too much more than I am. So,
and for someone like you who sounds like she's more or less on top of her feedbacking in the first place.
Not all the time, but most of the time I try to be. So.
Yeah.
No, it really helped me clear my backlog and mm-hmm. go and make sure I shared the love I had for some Podfics, which I'd always listened to and re-listened to no end, but had never commented on. So that was where I found it particularly useful.
Yeah. If you're listening, moderators, run it again, please.
Yes, it was absolutely fun, and I discovered some new Podficers because there was this one mini challenge, listen to new voices. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes. That was fun. So, yes, absolutely. Run it again. So I think now we had exactly what makes it difficult and hard, and how kind of we keep track of it. What can we do to make it easier? But I think, you mentioned quite a lot of that when you were recapping. I think we could just talk about what we personally do to make it easier. Or to kind of...
I've done that already.
Yes, okay. I think, I don't know whether you've listened to the podcast by Lunchy and Revolutionary Joe. I think they were talking about breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Talk more about that. That was really good.
Yes. So just...
I don't know anything about this, so you're going to have to explain to me.
Okay. It's more like... leaving kind of a little trail from the podfic to a possibility to for the listener to give you feedback. So after the podfic itself, you could say, if you enjoyed the story, please leave the author some feedback there. If you enjoyed my reading of the story, please leave me some feedback here. I think Lunchy does that. Yes. I haven't done it like that, but I always, in the metadata of the MP3s, text there, I leave a link, I put in a link to the text of the story, and I put in a link to my other podfics, so people can find my other podfics, and they could maybe leave me some feedback there as well, for example. And I also posted on AO3, so people could give me kudos there or leave a comment, find me there, maybe. And for shorter podfics, I also offer a streaming option, just with shorter ones, not with long ones, because that's, yeah.
I don't think anyone's listening to a 10-hour podfic on streaming, not in its entirety.
No.
Most of the time, at least not, so yes. But if it's shorter, something, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a hard rule about something. If it's 15 minutes, maybe 20, and under it, of course, I probably will leave, will post it as a stream as well.
I also really liked, I believe in that podcast they mentioned how if someone leaves you like a, hey, I'm downloading comment, to reply to that. Because that acts as a breadcrumb as well. It's a way of it's a direct link to them back to the story.
Yes,
from their inbox.
Yes, yeah. I do that kind of. I love that. When they're saying, "Oh, I love that story," downloading it, and I'm saying, "Yay, it was fun to record. I hope you like my reading." Something like that.
And I will actually leave sometimes like, "Hey, I'm downloading comments specifically for that breadcrumb."
Yes, because sometimes I do that as well sometimes, because I just lose track of what I have, whereas if I've got something which is in my inbox saying, your comment had a reply, I will remember that.
Or I'll find it, you know, a couple of weeks down the line when I'm cleaning out my inbox again, and I'll be like, right, yes, that.
Yeah.
So reply to your yes downloading thank you comments.
Yes. Also, I think just if you reply to your comments, not just to those, obviously, but to others as well, I think that's nice anyway. But if people reply to me and sometimes say more like thanks, obviously, if I just say I liked it, they will say thanks, and that's fine, because I wouldn't expect an essay to, oh, yeah, I liked it. But if I'm writing something a little more and then they reply a little more than just thanks, although mere thanks is fine, just saying, it is fine, I don't mind that. I will remember that, and then I kind of feel like I know them a little better, and then maybe the next feedback is even easier because, hey, we had a nice talk.
As a consumer of fanworks, one of my very favorite things in fandom is when you get into a discussion about a work with its creator.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I ever think a creator owes you that.
No.
As a creator, I don't feel like I owe that to anyone. But I really enjoy doing it from both sides of the equation. And when you get a chance to, it's lovely.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I had that from both sides, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But again, thank you is perfectly fine.
Yes, yes. I don't want anyone to think that I don't appreciate just thank you. And actually, if I just saying I like it, I think thank you is nice. But if I don't get it, I'm not thinking ill of anyone. So
mm-hmm.
I can absolutely understand that sometimes it's just the internet is too much. So.
So what role does feedback play in our own podpicking habits? Not how we leave feedback, but what feedback does for us.
Does it to us?
Does it? I mean, obviously. I don't think feedback is the primary reason a podficker ever posts their work.
Not really.
But to say that it has absolutely no influence on what we do is probably a misnomer, too.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It just makes me feel nice and warm and fuzzy inside, and that's a nice feeling. So if I know there's an area I'm going to get a bit more feedback, I might look more there, but it doesn't necessarily dictate it. That makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's maybe if I'm thinking, I'm trying to decide, should I podfic this story or should I podfic this story, and I want to do the rational, sensible thing and not say, I'll do them both, yay.
I'm glad you have that capability.
Sometimes. And it's really, I'm really undecided. So, but it's kind of different. But if it's a story in a style where I know that people have commented favorably, like, oh, you did that well, or your voice suits that kind of story really well, something like that, I might choose that. Maybe. I might get influenced by that a little bit
mm-hmm.
in favor. Probably also because then I say, I kind of got some feedback that I did that well. So.
I found feedback encouraging. I mean, like I've already alluded to, none of us really do it specifically for the feedback. But I feel like as someone who podfics minor and female characters, that there's always going to be less feedback in general for me. I don't do it for the feedback, but when I do get it, it's very encouraging, and it makes me feel less alone in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I don't mind throwing it out into the vacuum. You know, so long as there are the one or two downloads, I'm like, that's cool. Somebody listened. I'm good.
Yeah, it's just knowing it's not falling on completely deaf ears. There's someone out there who has downloaded it.
I think for me it helps create a sense of community, too. Like, I like doing it to be like, hell yes, I am doing this because this deserves to have podfic. But it's nice to know that there's a whole group of us who are in it together.
Yes.
And that encourages me to keep going.
I love the community aspect so much.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Community aspect is really, really nice. Really lovely. So, yeah, not doing it for the feedback as well, because, I probably could choose something that gets more feedback than podfic. Although I can't complain. I can't complain because...
Well, you can.
Yeah, okay, I can always complain, yes.
We probably even sympathize with you.
Yes, yes, I want at least 10 comments on each of my podfics all the time.
10 comments
every day.
Or we won't give you the next installation.
Yes, yes, obviously. No. but no, I mean, I see what amount of feedback I get, I don't see what amount of feedback other people get, but I can sometimes look at AO3 and then you can see compare some numbers, for example. And so I think I can't really complain. And it's gotten, I'm getting more now. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it is good. I like it.
I've seen an increase in my feedback as well, and I kind of wonder sometimes where that comes from. If it's because fandom has grown since I started and there are more people interested in the stuff I record just by sheer virtue of the numbers, because Podfic fandom has grown a ton in the 3 years I've been involved, or whether it's because I've got more of a presence than I used to. Like, you know, I'm around Podfic fandom. I run challenges. People seem to know who I am, which is still startling and bizarre. not everybody, obviously, but often enough. I'm that femslash Podficker, as someone accused me of being at WinCon. And like, I don't know how much all of that intersects with just the general increase. I think Podfic fandom really has been pushing for an increase in feedback. Yeah. I don't know where all of that meets to sort of be the reasons behind, well, I'm getting more feedback than I used to. Even if it's still not an overwhelming deluge.
Yeah, the thing I have to bear in mind is that I shouldn't compare the amount of feedback I get to fic, and I think that's something I have to keep in mind, otherwise it sometimes gets me a bit down, because I've tried, I like this. Don't you want to like this too? I
want to give you a hug right now.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I would like to hug you too. yeah, it's just one of those things that Podfic fandom has different levels of feedback to other fandoms, and I think that's just something you need to bear in mind.
Yeah, I'd love to sit down with a mixer someday and be like, so, you probably don't get a lot of feedback either, and I say that as someone who downloads to and listens to a lot of mixes, and I try to remember to leave feedback, because I know what that dearth feels like. But so, like, I see those posts, and I see how little feedback they get, and I'd love to see sort of where we, like, how we can meta together.
That would be very interesting, yeah. I'm now trying to think of people I know who make mixes.
Yes. I'm not sure. I probably know people who make mixes. I'm just
it's a podcast for next year.
I have to admit I don't really get mixes. I mean, sometimes I see them and I think, oh, that's awesome music, but I don't get them. I would need an explanation for the music and why they've chosen that for a story or for a theme or for a subject or something like that. Because I think it is a fascinating creation, a fascinating thing to do and to create. But I don't quite get mixes just by listening to them. I need to explain. I'm really into music, but yeah.
Yeah, well, they're two completely different fan work formats, mixes and podfic.
Yes. So, I would say I would be interested in more of, kind of working together with mixes as well, because I think it's a fascinating thing and I would like to get it more, so. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's just thinking personally about it. I haven't fed much back on mixes, and I think that's maybe something I would like to do more. But maybe that is how other people feel about Podfic, and that they don't quite know how.
Yes, probably, which makes it hard.
Yes, like we discussed.
Talk about how it made you feel.
Yes.
Always a good way to go.
Yes.
So during last year's podcast, someone said, if we only podficked for ourselves, we wouldn't be posting it publicly. And everyone agreed, and it was great, and it was said. And I want to disagree. This isn't going to be true for everybody, obviously. I podfic because I'm a performer, in large part. You know, I've come from an acting background. I've been in choirs, you know, consistently since like grade five, and I'm kind of a ham. I like the spotlight. And I don't have the chance to do a lot of that right now in my offline life. I'm sort of consumed by other things going on, and that's fine. But for me, podpicking really scratches that itch. But if I didn't post it publicly, it wouldn't. But it's not this. It's not necessarily getting that feedback and validation that makes it worth it for me. It's just knowing that someone is witnessing the performance. And I'm not sure if that, like, I feel like that still falls into the category in some ways of podficking for yourself, if that's your motivation.
Yeah. It makes sense to me in the, oh goodness. Now I have to try and find words. It is, you're doing it for yourself in that you just want to show people, but you're not trying to get something from them necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reasons people podfic are so multiplicitous that you can't, it's like a blanket statement like that is dangerous to make.
Yeah, particularly that we've all come in through slightly different routes. I mean, the people podfic so many reasons. They come to it and they get different things out of it as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And there are people who podfic just for themselves. They don't post it publicly. And, I mean, that would obviously not fall under this statement, but...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I know that some people podfic just to have the... so that they can have the story with them all the time, and I think many of them, I wouldn't say most, because obviously I don't know, I think guess many of them will post it publicly, but maybe not all, and maybe not every story.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure if this talking point made sense outside of my head.
It made sense, but I'm not sure I can articulate my thoughts on it.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense to me too, but I'm not quite sure I can pin down exactly why.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've had a week to put it together in my head. Since I reached to the podcast.
Yeah.
This podcast, so.
I mean, for example, I wouldn't mind just read a story to a friend, just for someone. So I'm having a performance and they're witnessing it. And but yeah, I would probably get a reaction out of them. So yeah.
No, I like the fact that someone is witnessing the work I have done.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily need any response from them. It's nice, but that's not what it's for.
Yeah, but for myself, I do podfic. In a way, for us, I do it for myself because it's fun and I'm choosing the story and because I personally love the story. But I'm not doing it for myself because I rarely listen to my own podfics after I've edited them. So
yeah, fair enough.
I think one of those things is that you can do it for yourself in that you can do it for yourself so that you have this podfic you listen to. And you can do it for yourself in that you enjoy the process of it, or a combination of both or other reasons.
Yes. People who enjoy editing will always baffle me, but I'm glad they're out there.
I alternate between enjoying it and loathing it.
Yes, yes. It can be kind of fun. And with some podfics, I've used some special effects, and that was kind of fun to do. But if I'm just cutting out stumbles and, it can be tiring.
No, when I'm in a certain frame of mind, I find editing really calming and it helps me focus.
Yes.
So when I'm in that state of mind, I find it really helpful and just quite soothing, whereas other times it drags on forever. So it varies, yeah.
Yeah, it varies, absolutely. And some days I'm absolutely in a, well, performing mood, so that wouldn't be the day to do the editing, unless I have to because I have a deadline. Which can happen. And then other days...
I only get things done when it's on deadline.
Yes. It helps. It helps.
Yeah.
And other days, I'm really not in a performing mood, so... And more in a, okay, I'm just focusing on this and getting it done mood. And
I often edit when... I really, really want to do something to do with Podfic, but I'm not in a situation where I can record.
Mm-hmm.
So then editing helps me fulfill that need.
Yes. Yes, and I thought that with Twitter, kind of these... What was it? How do they call it?
The productivity sprints.
Yes, that's fun. And really helpful.
And there's all built-in feedback to that sometimes, too, because you're, like, cheering each other on as you go, and you've got other people validating your work, even if they haven't heard it, but telling you you're awesome and you do good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just by doing this editing, which you needed and wanted to get done. Yeah.
Yeah. Something what else about feedback? Well, okay, I guess we could count, well, beta comments?
Oh, man, yes, let's talk beta.
Yes, beta. Oh, okay. I would usually say beta, but
it doesn't matter how you pronounce it. It's all on the internet.
Yeah.
We know what we mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. The meaning's clear. That's the important bit.
Yes.
It would be like arguing over the proper pronunciation of lol.
Yes.
We won't get into that topic.
Okay. So beta.
Beta.
Yeah, it's not something I have much experience with. I have had one podfic beated, and that was mainly because I was using music, which I don't do very often, and I was feeling very tentative about, and I just wanted a bit of help with that. And it was really helpful in that I felt I came out with an improved podfic in the end. But also, before I released it, I had someone going, yes, this isn't rubbish, which is nice.
That's very nice.
I've had some really excellent experiences with Podfic betas. I mean, I will sometimes use them in the way you just described, Katie, where it's just like, yes, that thing you did works. Hooray!
Yeah.
Especially when I'm trying things that are new and different and that maybe I haven't quite felt... that I don't quite feel like I have a handle on yet. But I've also had really critical feedback from betas that has made me think, and like it makes you sit and like weigh like what errors are you willing to leave in there versus what absolutely has to go. Like for me, I'll often compromise and leave in a little bit of slurring of my speech. Because that's really, really hard for me to eliminate completely for a couple of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the performance enough, or maybe a lot otherwise, and am willing to keep sort of those flaws that maybe I would or wouldn't have noticed before the beta.
Yeah. I actually haven't really worked with a beta much before. I think the closest I've come to that was in the Pod Together challenges because then my writer I sent them a draft first recording and then just asked, is this okay, do you like that, does this work for you, just like they sent me drafts of the story and kind of asked the same thing. So and then I got comments on that, and but it was mostly general worked, or I like that, or maybe not that special effect, or something like that, but not really a beta
I feel like if you can find a beta that you can work well with, that put like that will put in the time to really listen to your story and break it down, you can actually get like some of the best feedback you have ever gotten or will ever get from that beta.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I put together that which the writers didn't beta my pod fake, but those first comments there was pretty good, pretty awesome.
Featuring Podvic is definitely a skill, I think.
Oh, yes.
Overall, how does feedback make you feel?
Awesome.
Very good.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I don't have anything more to say than that can't be said in awesome.
Yeah, it's just getting... because of when the... If I get feedback from AO3, the kudos emails come early in the morning for where I am, and it's always nice getting up, and if I have an email there saying, you got kudos on this podfic, and that just makes me smile and starts my day off nicely.
Yes, exactly.
And I know that leaving feedback makes me feel really virtuous.
Yes.
Yes.
For good or for ill. I'm always like, I did a good thing.
Yes. I feel like after I've left feedback, that yes, I have achieved something here, which is always good.
Yes, that's also good. And yes, the kudo emails definitely leave me with a smile. It's kind of, I've gotten a good morning hug from her fandom.
Yes, that is an excellent way of putting it.
Yes. I actually keep a file in my email inbox, not my inbox, but in my email account that is dedicated to kudos and another one dedicated to podfic-specific feedback. So, like, if I ever need to pick me up, I can just go into that file and be like, all of these comments have been left on my podfic.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes. That's really nice. And I just know that sometimes, and some comments are just leave me smiling so much. And I feel just warm and fuzzy, and yes.
In short, feedbackers are the best. Thank you, guys.
Yes,
definitely.
This was the Podaware podcast about feedback. I'm Fleur. I was here with Katie and Katarina. I had fun. I hope you two had too fun.
It was fun. It was good.
It was good. And, well, if you... had fun to listen,
if you have feedback about this podcast, you should leave it for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or other tips on leaving feedback.
Yes.
Other tips on leaving feedback, definitely leave those.
Yes.
We'll love more tips.
Or if you want to argue with something we've said.
Yes. Exactly. And if you just want to share how feedback makes you feel, if it makes you feel as love fuzzy and loved and warm as it
does. As hugged by fandom.
Yes, exactly. Then
hugged by fandom.
Hugged by fandom. Yes. So, okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.